What would you grab if your world suddenly went up in flames? For Keela, a dedicated librarian in the Great Library of Elysium, the answer was clear: irreplaceable spellbooks. When revolutionaries storm the Imperial Palace and set fire to the library she's called home for 11 years, Keela makes a split-second decision that changes everything. Rather than watching centuries of magical knowledge burn, she frantically packs rare volumes on weather manipulation, healing arts, and forgotten languages into crates. With only her anxiety-prone spider plant, Kaz, for company, she flees through ancient canals beneath the burning city, sailing away from the only life she's known. Dawn brings a harsh realization. Keela has nowhere to go. With no friends outside the library, she faces an uncertain future. It's Kaz who provides unexpected comic relief, wedging himself between book crates to hide from fish, convinced that everything eats plants, but barely anything eats books. In her desperation, Keela remembers Caltray, the remote northern island where she was born, a place of ancient stone circles and wild magic that the Empire never fully tamed. Keela's arrival at Caltray reveals a bittersweet homecoming. The family dock stands rickety with missing slats, while Morning Glory and Ivy have overtaken the path to her parents' cottage. The house emerges from vegetation like a forgotten secret, its weathered shingles barely visible beneath climbing vines, reflecting Keela's own state. Her first morning brings Loran Maver, a tall stranger with a curved scythe, to her doorway. While Kaz hides, their awkward introduction reveals Loran as her nearest neighbor, a breeder of rare yellow merhorses that graze in coastal waters. Daylight exposes the cottage's deterioration, sagging ceiling beams, buckling floorboards, and mice-inhabited cupboards. Yet amid decay, she discovers treasures: clothes that shimmer like fish scales, quilts depicting sunset scenes, and hand-painted dishes adorned with local fruits. The process of reclaiming the cottage becomes a metaphor for healing her fractured spirit, each salvaged item representing a step toward renewal. Keela finds Caltray weathered and damaged, with even the village's famous winged cats looking gaunt on their rooftops. In the bakery, she meets Bryn, an antlered baker whose bells chime as he works, who insists on giving her a free cinnamon bun despite poor sales. Villagers immediately identify her. "You're Binna Orobadan's girl," recognizing her mother's amber eyes. Reactions vary, from Mrs. Tanith's supportive squeezes to others muttering about bad omens. Bryn explains Caltray's decline. Without imperial sorcerers maintaining the magical ecosystem, the village suffers altered fish migrations, reduced crops, and dangerous weather, problems stemming from the Empire's monopolization of magical resources Keela once smuggled. Unexpected kindness breaks through her isolation. Loran leaves provisions and repairs her home. Others follow. Mrs. Tanith shares preserved fruit. Young Pip offers fishing lessons. These genuine connections stand in stark contrast to her former transactional relationships in Elysium. Facing starvation, Keela makes a bold decision. Instead of waiting weeks for her garden to yield food, she uses the forbidden spellbooks to magically grow tomatoes instantly. She then announces to a shocked Kaz, "We're going to open a spell shop." When Kaz objects, citing the Emperor's harsh laws against unauthorized magic, Keela reveals her clever plan. They'll sell remedies as their secret magical products while offering jam as their public merchandise. This subterfuge allows Keela to help villagers while protecting herself. She creates raspberry jam from magically enhanced bushes that tastes like a memory to sell to Bryn. Meanwhile, she and Kaz catalog spellbooks, identifying magic that can pass as natural remedies, like pine cone remedies that rejuvenate dying trees without raising suspicion. What begins as survival evolves into something meaningful as Keela witnesses her magic's impact. The dying orchard rejuvenates, Edie's grandfather's cherry tree flourishes, and hope returns to the island. The spell shop becomes Keela's new purpose, helping others through knowledge. As Keela's magical work progresses, she forms unexpected bonds with nature. She and Kaz discover cloud bears, misty creatures with ember eyes, seeking help healing their woods. Following them into the forest, Keela applies pinecone remedies to ancient trees. Magic surges through a sycamore in waves of green light, sprouting new leaves. A small cloud bear's tears bloom into glowing white flowers, and they're rewarded with the appearance of an iridescent unicorn. Keela also forms meaningful human connections. She helps a desperate mermaid heal her sick baby from storm sickness, establishing a bond with the merfolk. Her relationship with Loran deepens when she heals his beloved merhorse Cyan after a magical storm. Most significantly, Keela forms the Pinecone Society with Bryn, Edie, and four-armed Ulina. She teaches them to create remedies, presenting spell words as family tradition nonsense syllables. The women craft remedies while sharing stories, creating a community Keela has never before experienced. Keela's new life is disrupted when Redain, a flame-haired woman from a magical shipwreck, arrives on the island. Initially claiming to be an imperial inspector, she later reveals herself as Ravandiel Etra Lasari, a distant imperial heir fleeing those who would use her as a figurehead. When an imperial warship arrives searching for Redain, Keela magically disguises her cottage and books with brambles and ivy. Cloud bears help conceal Redain in a tree trunk, while Captain Varric and his soldiers search the island. As a magical storm intensifies to catastrophic levels, Keela proposes they try to stop it, despite Redain's warnings that such magic requires an experienced coven. With Ivor's help, she gathers Bryn, Edie, and Ulina to form an impromptu coven and cast a complex spell that might save everyone, including the Imperials who came to arrest them. This moment marks Keela's transformation from someone who once hid among books to someone willing to risk exposure to save others. 4 months post-storm, Keela runs her jam shop as a community hub, despite her amusing struggles with strawberry preserves. Behind her cottage, a garden flourishes under her and Loren's care, with magical herbs, vegetables, and flowers attracting butterflies and mersprites. The Pinecone Coven meets twice weekly, practicing practical magic that serves the island, weather protection for fishing fleets, growth enchantments for crops, and healing charms for creatures. Their greatest achievement occurs when Loren's four merhorses give birth simultaneously under the moonlight. The coven forms a circle in shallow waters as Keela, Kaz, and Redain lead a birthing spell blending mersongs with land magic. The birth of four healthy foals attracts merfolk from miles around, their voices joining in long unheard harmonies. In this moment, Loran proposes marriage in both languages. They decide to keep both homes, understanding that love doesn't require sacrificing identity. Sometimes, the most powerful magic isn't found in ancient grimoires, but in the courage to begin again, transforming loss into something new, a home built from possibility rather than the past.